This is Will's Band of the Week for March 21st, 2021. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jason from Green Monster Studios in Monona, Wisconsin.
Hello, hello.
So, I guess we already talked about how Monona is like sort of Madison, but not quite, right?
Right, it's all surrounded by Madison streets.
Did we ever talk about how that ever happened? Like, who was doing the zoning or the, like, how did they do that? Like, if you, also around Madison, there's a town called Fitchburg, and if you look at a map of it, it's just ridiculous. It's just like a whole bunch of random real estate around Madison, and then somehow Monona got created. Like, did Monona get created inside of Madison, or did maybe Monona got created and it was outside of Madison, and then Madison kind of expanded and enveloped it?
I wish I should know my Monona history as a resident of this town. I've come unprepared. My guess is that it probably did grow out and grow around it, and I don't know. Monona's right on, it's right on Lake Monona, and it feels kind of like this little lake town sometimes when you're walking near the lake. I don't know how it was formed, but it is weird. You could literally throw a rock and hit Madison Street or something.
Yeah,
probably from my house.
Lake Monona is great. It's underrated. People should take advantage of Lake Monona.
Absolutely. You got the bike loop. Amazing. Yep. And stop and get some ice cream as you're making your way around the loop. It's a great afternoon.
Back when I used to run more, I used to run around Lake Monona a lot. And then, they have an annual road race, the Lake Monona 20K. It's about, 20K is what, 12.4 miles?
Is that yep.
And so if you,
I've run that. I've run it one time. It was probably my best racing experience.
That's cool.
Because I actually finished with negative splits.
Oh, that's good. That's hard to do. So yeah, the longer the run, the harder that is.
I couldn't do it today, but me 5 years ago or so.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, we have good music once again. Three artists to feature, and before we do that, Nicholas is getting the jingle this week.
Great.
It's time for the very serious Corona Report. My Corona.
So in pre-production, we were talking about how you got the coronavirus vaccine, and I thought, well, then we got to do an update.
Absolutely.
And then I remember there's kind of a story behind this, like how I found out, because I think you put it on Facebook, right? And then you had a Facebook anti-vaxxer guy, right? Yeah. Well, why don't you describe it?
Oh, well, I innocently posted on Facebook, "Hello, Facebook friends. Is there anyone out there that has gotten the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? If so, did you have any side effects from it?" And yes, an acquaintance of mine jumped on there and anti-vaxxed anybody that commented on the thread. And it just got this to be this gigantic thing that went on for several days. And I finally had to delete it because my spouse got involved and they were just like not being nice to each other. So I just shut the whole thing down. And then the next day I went and got vaccinated.
Well, I think I started it because I think he, like, you posted that and then his response came really fast. And then I tried to put a measured response, like, just, trust the science. Your risk from the vaccine is way, way lower than your risk from actually getting COVID. And then immediately he came back with, like, that I was arrogant And I don't know, whatever. And then I'm like, oh God, I should not even say another word. And then, but I answered like a couple more times and I showed my family members and they're like, don't do it. Don't do it. Then I had to send Jason a message and apologize for messing up his Facebook feed.
I have scientist friends and they all sort of jumped in as well. And it was sort of a mess. And then I reminded myself why I never post anything of personal nature on Facebook.
I know. It's just like it turns into a, yeah, it's terrible. But anyway, I apologize for contributing to that.
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm just going to continue to post drawings and music.
Because what could anybody object to with that, right? Yeah.
Hopefully.
I saw the Phil Collins. Very impressive.
Oh, yes. I did a drawing of Phil Collins for Scott Orr, a Canadian musician. He commissioned me to do a drawing of Phil Collins, and so I jumped on an 80s photo of Phil Collins. It was pretty spectacular.
Oh, see, you think Jason only, let's just say this, you're not one-dimensional, you know?
I try not to be.
You got the band,
am,
you got the
I
label.
I am pro-vaccine, I'll tell you that much. I'm a, have you gotten one? Did you say that you've gotten
First shot? Yeah, so just earlier this week, we got our group of people at work got designated as this arbitrary thing. It's like I feel kind of bad that I'm sure there are people more deserving than me, but I'm basically, but we got determined to be frontline essential workers or something of that nature, which we would be if we were doing everything in person, except I've been able to do almost everything remotely, so maybe shouldn't have been eligible yet. Although, you know, I'm getting up to the close to the age cutoff, so you know, I guess I didn't feel that bad about it. And so we became eligible, and then I actually ended up driving an hour and a half to get my first dose of Moderna, because everything in Madison has been really – there's high demand here. But people tell me that, like, depending on the day that you start looking, some days stuff opens up, and then it just completely disappears, and it's just pretty random.
Were you going through Walgreens?
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah. I was trying to do that too, and it's cutthroat, I think, because you're dealing with like all the teachers of the in the state as well, trying to get it through there as well. But then they had the Johnson & Johnson available, and it was really easy for me to sign up through the Alliant Energy Center here.
And a friend of mine did that too. He actually got this is obnoxious because it's like sounds like privilege, but he said he knew somebody on the county board, and then it was like late in the day, and this guy told him, he said, oh, I hear that they've got some extra doses at the Alliant Energy Center. So he just drove there and just got it, you know?
Wow.
So
the more people that have it, and the faster we move forward. So if people are smart enough to go get in line and get a shot, you know, I say more power to them. Go for it.
Right. I mean, obviously, you don't want any doses going to waste. But you'd think they'd have a little bit better system of, like, making it public, like, to everybody. Although then maybe, what do you do if there's, like, six extra doses? And then if you just notify the entire city, then you have, like, 100 people show up for the six doses.
Yeah.
It is a little bit of a logistical problem, I guess.
My hat's off to them for even organizing it as much as they have in the last couple of months.
Right. Yeah. And like, it just, once you get in, it seems pretty simple. So now we have to tell the public, did you get any side effects?
I did. I had a, so I got it on a Friday morning, and by Friday night I was experiencing some chills, and I probably had a fever, but I was taking Tylenol to keep that down. And then some sweating like crazy overnight while I was trying to sleep. And the next day I felt fine. I was just tired, I think, from not really sleeping well. So it gave me a good excuse to lay around on the couch and watch some bad TV.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, of course, with Johnson & Johnson, they give you the whole thing at once. So that would make sense. You might get more side effects. So with the one I got is one of the two dose ones. And first of all, I didn't even feel it. I'm like, did you really just give me that vaccine because I didn't feel anything. I looked at, he had an empty syringe in his hand. I'm like, okay, well, I guess there must have been something in there before. So I guess I got it.
You're going to have to trust him.
Yeah. And I got it around noon. And like by the time I went to bed, my arm was starting to feel just a little bit sore, which relieved me that I actually got the shot. And then and then the next day, yeah, I had some, I didn't feel rotten, but I felt fatigued, you know. Yeah. And I think I still have a slight bit of the fatigue a couple days later, but not bad. But they say with the two-dose ones, you get a much more strong reaction after the second one. That means your body is building up for battle, right?
That's right. Yeah, my wife, Connie, she had a pretty strong reaction to the second dose.
Did you?
Yeah. Not as bad as me that Friday night. Woo, that was pretty terrible. I was thinking, man, I should have listened to that anti-vaxxer. I was wrong.
You could have. You were at your most vulnerable at that point. You could have become an anti-vaxxer in that few hours span. Well, you must feel pretty powerful now.
Yeah, I'm
invincible.
I'm ready to get back to just carrying on with life, hopefully.
Yeah. One of my bands booked a gig for May 21st, or I guess maybe 22nd. I'm like, that might be pushing it, you know, but, you know, I guess I think I would do it if I'm vaccinated.
Is it an indoor thing, or is it outdoors?
No, it's outdoors.
Oh, I think you'll be. I mean, it just seems like the guidelines are really loosening, maybe a little on the fast side, but, you know, there's guidelines within the CDC that the children at school can be within 3 feet of each other if they're wearing a mask. You know, I think Mays County, or not Mays County, that's a county I grew up in. Dane is now saying you can be maskless if you're outside. I don't know if you're supposed to be vaccinated or not, but...
Yeah, so they've been relaxing the only thing that concerns me about that is this whole variant thing. And in some places, they've actually had like spikes in cases, which means like... But they haven't really been saying that any of that spike is from people who have been vaccinated. So far, at least, it sounds like the vaccines work against the variants mostly. So,
yeah, sure hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, it's just a race to get the vaccines, right? And everybody before the variants really get a chance to catch hold, I think.
Right. Exactly. Yep. All right. That's a pretty decent update. I mean, that's some positive news, right? Yeah, I think people are starting to feel a lot more optimistic about things.
Yeah, deservedly so after a whole year.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's terrible. What a year. All right. Everyone stayed alive pretty much this week, at least in the indie rock world, I think. Sometime there's going to be some major one we're going to forget, and it'll be like a terrible thing, right? But... I don't know. Now, it's hard to get them past us if they're indie rockers, right?
Right, right. Usually through the group, through the massive group of correspondents.
Yeah.
Nothing usually gets by everybody.
No. So that means we go straight to the music. And
okay, who's first up?
Well, let's go with friend of the podcast, Glenn Donaldson's latest release. He's just going wild, right? This year, he's turning into Bob Pollard or something.
I feel like he's in some sort of renaissance period here with all of these different bands that he's working in.
Right. So we talked to Glenn a few months ago about his project called Horrid Red with the German guy singing. Mm-hmm. And before that, we had talked to Jem from Vacant Gardens, which is also Glenn Donaldson's project. He's mostly known for a band called Sky Green Leopards, and they've been around a while from the San Francisco Bay Area. And now he's got he's also got his own thing called the Reds, Pinks, and Purples, who we've talked about. I think they've got an album coming out also.
They do, yeah.
And so does
Vacant Gardens as well. So it's going to be a very Glenn spring.
Yeah. Oh my God. Unbelievable. And now we have this project with Jeremy Earl from the band Woods. I think we've talked about Woods at least a bit on the podcast. And this is called Painted Shrines. And I think it's pretty cool. It's definitely got, you know, Glenn's sense of melody is throughout the whole thing. And most of the vocals are by Jeremy Earl, I believe.
Yeah.
Some of it's instrumental, and it all fits together pretty well, and I think it's cool. And it's got good cover art, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a really, really great album cover.
So, you know, you got to mention that when it's, you know, noteworthy, right?
For sure.
The album is called Heaven and Holy, and I'll start with a track. What am I going to pick? I made a list. There are a lot of them. But you know what? I think I'm going to pick the song. It's not the title track. It's the title. It's the name of the band track. The song, Painted Shrines.
Yeah.
Number four. Here it is. Painted Shrines. That's some pretty cool noise there, don't you think?
Yeah, I was gonna say that's. I really love that fuzzed out guitar. It's really great, and I have no idea who's doing it. If it's which guy is pulling it off?
Yeah,
it's very mysterious.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I like it.
Yeah. So I've got a little bit of history. Like I used to like the Sky Green Leopards quite a bit, and then I love Woods, and I've been a big fan of theirs for a long time. And I don't know, the last couple of albums I've kind of trailed off with, but this is kind of nice because it kind of reminds me of the earlier Woods albums. And also I always kind of thought like Woods kind of reminded me of Sky Green Leopards. So it's just like, it's perfect that these guys came together and recorded together. Yeah, I don't know. Should I pick a track?
Yeah, sure.
Or did you have anything else you wanted to add? I don't know.
Not really.
Okay.
Maybe I'll think of something.
My favorite track was track three, Gone.
Face hits the wind. This moment begins. Someday you might see what I already know. A voice in your head that gets you out of bed. Someday you might see what I already know. You're living in
Yeah, catchy one. That was my next pick, actually.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice, I really like the organ part and the guitar that's going along with it. And when they sort of drop out and then the bass comes in there, coming back into the verse. I wish like REM would have recorded with somebody like this, maybe towards the end of their career. That would have been nice. I could hear some REM in there.
Yeah.
Instead of getting like a really big producer, if they would have called up Glenn Donaldson.
Yeah, that would have been cool. They missed the opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm sure Glenn's sitting there thinking, they should have called me. They really should have called me.
Big mistake, REM.
Yeah. But yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's interesting because it's definitely not a high-budget recording, but it's just pretty cool, right? The way I like the mix of it. And the kind of the drums have this kind of immediacy to them. And yeah, good.
Glenn knows what he's doing, I think.
Yeah. Definitely knows what he's doing. He's got one of these bands has to hit indie rock stardom at some point, right?
Yeah, I think he's on a pretty good trajectory.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go with number five, Not So Bad. Painted Shrines. So I was thinking about this last week when we talked to Ben from The Lodger. If a person asks you, you're a musician, what kind of music do you play? Or what does your music sound like? I mean, to think about how often they must get asked that. So I was wondering what he would say. What do you say? Like, in the case of The Lodger, you might say, well, it's guitar pop or something. You know, but that doesn't do it justice, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe, I don't know, try to name a couple bands maybe you're influenced by or something. So I was thinking about this, like, what is it? Is it kind of, I don't know what makes something get called psychedelic, but it's almost like psychedelic pop, right? There's like there's an element of something going on besides just straight ahead, like pop melodies.
I don't know. I think of like Sunshine in California in the 60s and like the Byrds, like the band The Byrds, sort of with the, it seems like maybe there's some 12-string guitar in there occasionally, like that chimey.
Right.
Or is that jangle? That's the sound.
Yeah,
jangle.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But it's also got that, but it's also got a little bit more edge, which gives it that psychedelic feel, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I think psychedelic pop is perfect.
All right. That's a worthy project, right? Painted Shrines.
Totally.
All right. Well, any more essential tracks, or should we move on to the next one?
Oh, we can move on if you want.
I think we did it justice.
I think so.
Three tracks. So. Some of them get a little more fuzzed out, which is kind of fun. Check it out.
There are a number of instrumentals, which I was surprised by, but...
And they're good too. Number two, called Panoramic. I really like that one a lot.
Yeah,
almost played that one. The album, by the way, is called Heaven and Holy, and it has good cover art, as we noted earlier. So check it out. Let's do your obscure pick from 2019. Okay. Something that I had never heard of, and then I think she just wants to throw us off here with all these accents over the vowels, so to like figure out if you're pronouncing the name right.
Yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce her name.
You have to guess. You have to commit now.
So, I mean, I would say it's Helena, maybe Barbier. I don't know if that's. I mean, she is from, I believe, Quebec,
a French Canadian,
and so
yeah.
So that's why I'm going. Barbier, but I don't know if it could just be Barbier, but it's
And I thought maybe it was Helena, but it's there's a accent in one direction on the first E and then another direction on the second E. So it's just like, it's kind of like that. It reminds me of when we were talking to Helena Deland, another French Canadian, and I said the name, I tried to say her name the way I would say it. And then I said, is that how you pronounce it? And her answer was just basically, yeah, that's just fine. You know, you will never get it right. So it doesn't matter. However you say it is fine. That was like what I, so I'm like, okay. Oh, I'm really sorry though. I wanted to say it right.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, we'll just say her name however we want.
Especially when you're catapulting them up to indie rock superstardom via the podcast, you know, you don't want to mess these things up.
Exactly. Because what if you said it wrong and then another person a year from now is going to say, no, I know this is how you pronounce it because I heard it on Will's Band of the Week. Oh, we'll totally screw up their career. Anyway, so here we go. It's time for indie rock stardom.
Yeah. Helena. I don't know if you want me to tell you my backstory with this this music, but like funny enough, I put my Spotify app on some playlist whenever I went running in January, and this album came on, or a song from it came on a shuffle, and I had to stop and, you know, take a screenshot so I didn't forget it. And yeah, and I've been listening to it weekly probably since January, and ended up having to order the vinyl and everything because I fell in love with it. And it's just, you know, I'm sort of so mad because it would easily be in my top 10, if not top few albums from that year. And I also discovered it too late for it to be included in a decade list. It's just, you know... She got the short end of the stick with the list. So, but I did reach out and gave her praise via Instagram. She said something is in the works for this year. So
cool.
So hopefully it lives up to this one. I noted track number 9, One Horse Town, as a song to play.
All right, let's do it. Thank you. That's the artist whose name I'm going to pronounce Helena Barbier. It's probably okay. Wrong. Probably wrong. The album is called Have You Met Elliot?
And, it's got a cool cover.
It has
it's like sort of a vintage photograph for the album cover.
The little kid with a toy telephone.
Yeah.
Presumably is her, but we don't know, right?
I would assume. Unless it's Elliot.
It could be Elliot.
Or maybe she's looking for Elliot and trying to call him. But So
this one's for you, Jeremiah. Quebec artist. You gotta get on this. So I had not heard of her, so not a lot of indie rock press, at least from the stuff that, of course, what I read is completely irrelevant, right? Because bands get super famous without me ever even hearing about them. So I'm clearly reading the wrong blogs anyway, but whatever I read, it's the first I've heard of her. Yeah. So, two things that struck me. First of all, 11 songs, 26 minutes. How can you go wrong with that? That's like as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Oh, second thing was, there's three things. The second thing is that, I like how the drums sound. Like they're like, she's not afraid to have loud drums.
Yeah.
Which is fun. The third thing is she's also not afraid of just kind of like being a little bit experimental and, they're non-obvious melodies kind of in that way. Sometimes it reminds me of Palberta, where it's like, I'm going to mess around with this certain chord or chord progression that's kind of non-traditional, which just makes it pretty interesting, I think. So, I liked it. I listened to it, I think two times completely through and sampled a little beyond that. I'm going to make a pick, if you don't mind.
Okay, go for it. Yeah, the floor is yours.
Let's do student number three, Where is the Dog? Helena Barbier, or Barbier, or Barbier.
I love her little thin guitar sound, but then that really, really allows the drums and the bass to kind of come through the recording.
Right, yeah.
It's, they're like really up in your face. And it's kind of got like a, I don't know, it seems like a late 70s, like early 80s, almost like sort of dance vibe to the way they play sometimes. I've got nothing but praise for it. Which one did I had another, what was it? I think it was the one right before that track, actually, that track two, Not So Impressed.
You can never go wrong with track two, you know? If you don't even want to listen to the album, just say, we're going to play track two.
Okay.
Helena Barbier. I did some music journalism.
Okay.
I was looking for a bio, and I found something in French, and then it said, translate this page, so I translated it. And it said that she is one of the members of the Montreal group Moss Lime.
Oh.
So there you go.
I have some more digging around to do. That's exciting.
Yep. And this album is on a well-regarded indie rock label called Emotional Response Records. They've got some cool stuff on that label. Mick Trouble, we've talked about him. Neutrals, remember that Neutrals Kebab Disco album? That's on Emotional Response. The band Latitude, we've talked about. The band Sea Blight. So those are some cool indie rock artists. So,
yeah, I don't know how this slipped by all of us. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if it's for everybody, but yeah, I sure love it. It's I don't know. It's just really interesting. It's just something a little different. I love the guitar playing.
Yeah, that's cool. I think you know, Barrett has talked about this in the past, that music labels, you know, they get a bad rap, but they're really valuable because somebody's got to curate everything, right? Somebody's got to be a tastemaker or decide, you know, hey, I think this is good. I want to promote this. And you can go to any of these labels, you know, that there are so many of them that that we've talked to about, like multiple artists from those labels. And if you go to any of those web pages and look at their list of artists, there are a whole bunch that you've never heard of because some just don't get traction. You know, they sign them and they put it out. It's on Bandcamp. You know, probably can't get Pitchfork to review it. So behind the scenes, there's like really nasty emails to Pitchfork saying, come on, you know, and, but it, you know, I think that's actually a way that you can find artists, you know, go to some of these labels, like, I don't know, Exploding in Sound or, you know, there could be like five others that are in the tip of my tongue here, you know, and just like look at their Slumberland, maybe, you know, look at their list of artists, and you're going to find like some stuff. You're like, oh, there's a 2018 album by this band I never heard of. It might be really good, but just didn't get like the traction of, you know, something else.
I feel like whenever I discovered Yola Tango and Pavement and Guided by Voices were all on Matador, it was like, you know,
I
just started looking at, well, what else is on this label, you know, and discovered so many things that way. It's just such a great way to discover new music. I should do it more often.
And of course, people who really want to discover new music should go to the Painted Blonde label, right? Well,
that's laying a little dormant right now, thanks to thanks to this global pandemic. It's kind of been put on the back burner for a bit, but.
Well, you've been pretty busy with your own stuff too. So.
That's true.
So,
and I'm spending a lot of time on the computer with my anti-vaxxer friends. So we're very busy guys.
Right. You got to spend hours and hours and hours trying to convince one person to get a vaccine. Then you're like, was it really worth it?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's all interesting stuff. So, well, did we do this one justice?
I hope so.
It's definitely one to check out and fun.
And it's under a half an hour. You can't lose.
Right. I listened to this, driving to and from, getting my vaccine. So there's a good little theme.
It sounds like you could have listened to it maybe five times within that, car ride.
Yeah, I could have. It was an hour. It was 3 hours of driving. And I just didn't care because, well, as it turned out, I was off of work anyway, and I had the time, and it was a very nice day, and it was like, you know, kind of when you learn you have the opportunity to get the vaccine, it's kind of like, it's kind of nice, right? So it's
a
positive
thing. Yeah, you
just
sort of throw everything out the window.
That's so you're like, and I'm like, I knew that I had all kinds of music to listen to, behind on podcasts, there would be no problem just staying occupied, so it really wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, I was the same way even waiting in line at the Alliant Energy Center. I think that took like an hour, hour and a half to get through. Mm. But
it's funny because at first they had the Alliant Energy Center has been a place where they have been testing for COVID for, you know, like a year.
Right.
And now they've converted it. I think they have a testing section and a vaccine section there now, right?
I think so, yeah.
You know, the trivia about the Alliant Energy Center is that that whole complex there includes the do they still call it the Dane County Coliseum? I guess it's the Dane County Coliseum at the Alliant Energy Center.
Oh, I don't
like
know.
That. I don't know. So the thing that's like an arena is there, but then there are all these like side buildings where they do all these trade shows and stuff right. like that. But the Dane County Coliseum there, I saw some arena rock there when I was a teenager, and I used to drive down from Oshkosh. So it was like 100 miles to drive there with my friends, and somehow my parents let me do that. And I saw Queen there. I saw the Cars. Who else did I see at the Dane County Coliseum? I don't know. That's some wild. Other arena rock stuff.
I can't imagine seeing Queen. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That was back in the old days. Back in, it's like 1978, maybe. Something like that. Yeah. So that's that. Little did we know that over 40 years later, you could get a COVID vaccine there. You didn't get to get in the arena, though, right? You didn't get to go in.
No, it was like some sort of, you know, garage looking type thing right. that I didn't even get out of my car. I literally drove through it.
Right. That's how I got the when I got tested there twice. Yeah. It was the same deal. You just drive your car through a giant thing, but not in the Coliseum itself.
Yeah.
So they could make it an arena rock experience. Have like an arena rock show going on, and then you walk in there and get your vaccine.
There you go.
So it's something to give some thought to. You got the facilities, might as well do it, right? Maybe I saw Kiss there. Probably not. I don't know if it was there. I saw Kiss in Green Bay at the Brown County Arena. We used to laugh because that place had, you wouldn't think about it. I was a kind of a music nerd to the extent that like I did notice sound quality. We used to laugh at how bad the sound quality was at the Brown County Arena because it was all just a big echo chamber.
just the name alone does not like instill a great experience.
No, it doesn't. Oh, God. All right. Those were the days. All right. Let's see. On to the next band?
Sure.
We're rocking right along here.
Yeah.
So this band got kind of, it got played up in the indie rock media this week. A few people were reviewing it and mostly liking it. And I thought, yeah, I'll listen to this. And I kind of thought the same thing. It was kind of a little bit of an interesting and different thing for the indie rock fans. It's a band called Really From, and they are from Boston. And they, I don't know, everybody says they sound like jazz and indie rock combined or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think that's what I noticed as well in the write-ups.
And I think, well, they sound like jazz for two reasons. One is that they have some kind of off-kilter rhythm type stuff going on. And the other reason, though, is that they've got a trumpet as a main instrument. Like every song, I think, well, except there's a weird last song on the album, right? It's like,
right, yeah.
Why did they put that on there? It like doesn't fit.
It's like even more beyond the piano ballad, random piano ballad. It's a sort of lo-fi, just acoustic vocal. It's strange to include on such a highly produced album.
Right.
I thought it was kind of.
So 10 years ago, we used to, the indie rock press liked to compare everything to Neutral Milk Hotel. So I heard that. I'm like, that guy's trying to sound like Neutral Milk Hotel. That's
the
what
last, the last track?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we should not play that one, but just make that note.
Yeah, I think it would have been a good bonus track or, you know, just don't even title it or just if you want it to be on there. I don't know.
The untitled track that is not listed, right?
Yeah, yeah. A hidden track. That's
the hidden
what it
track.
Is.
That's right. I couldn't come up with the term. Did they have hidden tracks on those on CDs?
Or yeah.
Were they
used to do like a lot of silence in between the last song and the hidden track, and it'd be some sort of noise thing that was usually pretty awful.
You could put like 5 minutes of silence, and then suddenly just some crazy thing happens, right? Yeah.
Beck was like he always did it, and it would just be the most random sounding thing that sort of like weird blips and bloops from synthesizers.
Didn't one of those Wilco albums have the last track was like 15 minutes, but there was like a 3 minute of nothing in the before the end? Oh, it's the album A Ghost Is Born, I think.
Yeah. They did. I think they had like a really long ambient thing that sounded like nothing pretty much towards the end of that album.
There's also a Nico Case album that has like 30 minutes of just a microphone out in a field.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was so experimental.
Yeah, apparently. Now I'm going to do, I have to search my music library by length of track and see if I have that track, because see what the longest track I have. So while we play the first song from Really From, I'm going to look for that. So I'm going to be kind of unoriginal and just pick the song that I believe they picked as the first single.
Okay.
Because I think it's a good representative. And I think I actually chose it and then realized it was the single. So I'm going to take total credit for it. It's number 4. This is the self-titled album, Really From. Track 4 is called Trilingual. Really from Boston.
So the two vocalists is pretty interesting. I really love her voice, and then I get reminded of Connor Oberst a lot by The Gentleman. I have a hard time.
I actually like Connor Oberst a lot, but I also did have a little bit of a hard time with this guy. Sometimes it's just I definitely like her vocals better than his, and it made me think that I kind of like the jazzy part more than the indie rock part of this band. At least that was what I was thinking. And then I gave the whole thing another listen. And then I started to warm up to the whole thing a little bit more. So, I'm kind of on board. And I like the trumpet. I actually like it. So there's just something, I don't know, it's recorded really well. And it's just like, it fits in with their sound.
I like it most of the time. I don't remember what track was where it kind of took me out of the song, I felt like, whenever it was coming in verses. But it might be just something that I need to get used to, because I don't listen to a lot of trumpet in my typical indie rock lo-fi recording. Yeah. So.
Well, it did make me think there are plenty of bands that use saxophones, and Chris is on board of being anti-saxophone. But I was thinking, and I guess some use flutes, and I'm really not a flute fan. And I think I like the trumpet as much or more than I've liked saxophone in other band contexts. So
I think, like, if you're using a saxophone, you're being ridiculous. If you're an indie rock band and you just kind of you're just overdoing it. But I'd be with Chris and saxophone and throughout the 70s and 80s is pretty cheesy stuff. Except yeah. I won't touch Bruce Springsteen recordings. We'll leave that saxophone in for sure.
Yeah. You got to be careful. If you say something on Facebook about Bruce Springsteen, right, you'll have a huge
I might end up in a divorce because yeah. my wife is a gigantic Bruce Springsteen fan. It might be the end of everything around here.
What I don't know if you ever listened to Sound Opinions, rival podcast. those guys from Chicago. But one of them, I think it's Jim DeRogatis. He just doesn't like Springsteen. He just doesn't. He's like, I don't like it. It's really funny. And then Greg, the other guy, is like, you know, he loves him. So it's just funny. He's a little bit polarizing. I guess what I think about Springsteen is, like, he seems like a great guy, and like the things he sings about and things he stands for are cool. Mm-hmm. But I've never been able to latch on. But I guess it's not really that I've ever really disliked him, but I just haven't really ever connected that much to his music.
Yeah, I feel similar about the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl and mm-hmm. all those guys. But yeah. So with my pick, I was going to be even more original and pick track one, Apartment Song. I really like how the drums unfold. It's really cool, like how they're panned. So listen for that, because it's pretty jazzy and it's very cool.
All right, let's do it. Apartment Song. Yeah, that one was definitely worth playing.
I hope if they play that live, one person goes over and switches to an acoustic guitar mid-song. Like, drop their electric, pass it off, and pick up the acoustic.
Yeah, there are plenty of opportunities for theater, right? When they do their switches, their stylistic switches mid-song.
Keep the drum solo going. My cable is caught, and I got to plug this thing in.
That's good. Bend is really from, and Yeah, I mean, I think it's very interesting the way, you know, the angle that you come at. And I think that coming from like the indie rock side of things, I mean, you hear this jazzy thing, it's like, it can kind of like push you as an indie rock listener to be sort of interested in a more jazzy thing. So I think it's cool that way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like when, you know, Radiohead had sort of a jazz moment around Kid A times, I also had to go check out a lot of jazz. So this was kind of a, you know, return to my early 20s, listening to some jazz again for the first time in a while.
I have a few jazz albums in my collection, and what happens though is like I always think that I should listen to them more, but then I always go back to the indie rock. Well, if I was in the lobby of a really nice hotel in a big city, I think I'd like to hear some jazz. You know, there's a good time and place for it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, all right, let's play another one. So I had, we shouldn't play one and two. So let's go to number five, I Live Here Now. Drummer got to rock on that one pretty well too.
it's an interesting recording. Like, they're not afraid to experiment with the sort of unusual soundscapes, and you know, that piano sounds like really not beautifully recorded, and I like the effect that's on her vocal, and then it goes into that really pristine recording. It's really cool.
So definitely something worth exploring, I think. Really from Well, are we three for three?
I think so.
You know, we were going to talk about that television personalities compilation, but I kind of forgot to prepare for it. Did you prepare for it?
Well, I mean, I could pick a couple of things off of it.
Why don't we just do it? It'll be a bonus. So, okay, you know, it's like you are like friends with this label, right? Paisley Shirt Records. So yeah, they're like, by association, they're friends of the podcast. Because you had like at least two things in your top 10 were from Paisley Shirt releases,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I probably could have had more because I just sort of immediately buy things whenever they're posted to Bandcamp. But yeah, this compilation. I forget how many songs are on it. It's huge.
26.
Yeah. So I'm not really familiar with television personalities. So, and I'm sort of embarrassed because I'm just killing my street cred by not knowing these, what are supposedly classic albums. So I need to go back and listen to them more. But I had picked out a track from Tony J, who is also in Flower Town, who I love, and like both of his projects are on Paisley shirt. And the one song was A Good and Faithful Servant.
Yeah, it's a really good one, and that is from the 1989 album called Privilege, which was one of my favorite albums of probably 1989. Oh. So yeah, I was totally into that album. Like, I'm not really a completist. Like, I don't have all their stuff, but I had a couple of their albums, and the Privilege was my favorite one, and that's track two on that album. You should definitely go back and listen to that album. That's a really like a masterpiece, incredible album. Oh.
Well, now I'm like really excited. Cool.
And so I'll make a pick because the one of my favorite songs on that album is also there's probably a few of them actually from that album that are on this compilation. But scroll all the way down to track 24, and there's a cover of one of my favorites, which is called the Engine Driver song, and it's by a band called Red Go-Kart. So this is cool. Here it is.
Thank you.
It's Red Go-Kart from the Paisley Shirt Records compilation. It's called The Boy Who Paints Rainbows. And I think I read that this is they did a collaboration with a French label, right?
Yeah.
It was record label.
I was kind of rereading the Bandcamp page, and it said that the gentleman from the French label reached out to Kevin and said, hey, we're trying to get some American artists. And so I think he handled the American side of things and the U.S. side of, and the U.S. distribution of the cassettes. And then they probably had the overseas European version of the cassettes to distribute over there, which makes it, I'm sure, so much easier, because shipping things internationally is not fun.
Yeah.
But I was going to actually suggest it, because they had Jad Fair on it from Half Japanese. Maybe we should play his song.
Sure.
Because that's a pretty big name to get on this compilation.
Yep. And he does a cover of a track called Psychedelic Holiday.
It's yours to take, it's all for free. It's yours to take, it's all for free. It's yours to take, it's all for free. Would you like to come with me on a psychedelic holiday? And I'll show you things you've never seen that'll really take your breath away. It's all for free, it's yours to take. It's all for free, it's yours to take. It's all for free, and it's yours to take. It's all for free. And we can sit beneath the golden sea and watch the waves turn into trees. And the dolphin sings a pretty tune, and he sings for you, and he sings for me. It's yours to take, it's all for free. It's yours to take, it's all for free. It's yours to take, and it's all for free. And if I held your hand, then would you understand? If I held your hand, understand. I'll be your friend, I'll be your friend. That's all I need, it's yours to take. It's all for free, it's all for free. And you can come with me and we can chase and catch a falling star.
That's Jad Fair. So that's one of those names I've heard a lot. I don't know anything about Jad Fair.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, I don't know a ton. I remember watching a pretty cool documentary at one point about Half Japanese, but it always sort of reminded me of Daniel Johnston, the sort of outsider artist type. I feel like everything I've ever heard sort of sounds just like that song right there.
So, he's in character.
Yeah.
That's good.
You could either say that's great, he's got his sound, or maybe he hasn't progressed much. But I could be wrong. It could be he's got a lot of material out there. I'm sure he's deviated from that sound at some point.
Well, it's a pretty fun thing to explore, this compilation. And they went kind of wild on it. Like I said, 26 songs, and it's an hour and 25 minutes. I can't remember. I think, do they have this as a pay what you want to download? Got to check that now.
I don't know, because I already own it, so I don't know if it's pay what you want or not, because it just tells me that I own this.
I couldn't remember whether I paid for it either, so I got to look now. Oh, it's $5. $5 or more. So, I mean, come on. 26 tracks. You're getting a reasonable value.
It's a good deal.
Well, all right. So we had already been above $0. Easily, and now you know, it's crazy. Like, it's so far above $0. It's like, you know, come on, right? People should be sending us money without us even asking.
That's true. We got to get you that mic stand.
Right. I'm going to look into that. I just got to see if I can do it without, like, cluttering up the desk too much. So I've kind of limited space here. So it's a bare bones studio here. Oh, here's good news. I just got an email. I got my travel voucher from Air Canada for the trip that I did not take in last summer. They finally gave me the voucher.
Wow.
So that took, what, let's see, the flight. Well, I canceled it like almost a year ago.
Yeah.
And the flight was going to be in July. So today, Air Canada is happy to tell me that I have a voucher I can use on Air Canada. If I ever want to go anywhere ever again, Air Canada flies.
They're gonna give you 2 months to use it.
let's see if it says. It just says it's a voucher. It doesn't say anything about expiration. I might need to read a little more carefully. I'll have to read the fine print.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess it's good to have it. All right, Jason. Thanks a lot. This was great.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me pull one out from 2019.
I think that we need to do a little bit more of this when people just have something they really like. Just come on the podcast and talk about it. Like we've got some good ones, I think, coming up. Like David just nominated one that he really likes a lot, and Craig and I have been talking about a couple bands we like, and we'll get it rocking. Chris, where are you these days? Come on, there's got to be a Chris thing, right? All right, well we'll keep it going. The correspondents are keeping the podcast alive. And hopefully we'll continue to do so.
I'm sure they will. There's no shortage of good music to talk about.
It seems to have come back to, you know, the point where, like, it's a pretty good steady stream of good releases every week, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And we always have the vault. I mean, there's that vault is big. So you can always go back there, too. All right. I guess we'll sign off.
All right. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you. And we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.